Blog Talk Radio. search to find the love within.
I came back to let you know, got a thing for you,
and I can't let go.
My friends wonder what is wrong with me.
Well, I'm in a daze from your love, you see.
In the marrow, Brothers and sisters, bless your energies, Brother Wisdom. For you all, this will be a quick meditation so that you will be able to tap into the underworld within you. You must know that we are plasma beings. We are plasma energy beings. And we are what is known as the Titans. All right? The word Titan means very strong and intellectual person. All right? You must remember, before Bruce Banner became the Hulk, he was a scientist. A scientist has different levels of knowledge. All right? So that's just a little information, a little intel that you can, you know, tap into, is to know that the science of everything around you is so important. Knowledge, intellect. Like I said, this will be a very short meditation, and you can elongate it if you want to. I will post this Om meditation chant in the information box so that you will be able to use it, all right, and, you know, do your meditation, all right? Okay, so we know how we start off. We want to make sure you get your stretch in, shake out everything, all right? Get your mind set for meditation, because this is all a meditation. When you gain certain levels of knowledge, this is ancient energy that is returning to you. The plasma energy that's within you is ancient and old. So when you gain certain levels of knowledge, that plasma in it, that plasma within you, the same plasma that they take out in the plasma banks, that plasma within you begins to vibrate, and the frequencies in the plasma begin to make sounds within you. All right, and those who in the olden days who could illuminate, that was because their vibrations were so high and the plasma energy in them was so astute that they could illuminate in the light and in the dark, and all came from intellect. So, you know, we are the Titans, we are the gods of this world, and it's time to bring the gods back. Okay, you want to stand up, you want to sit down, however you do your meditation. You want to take deep breaths, breathe in your nose, out of your mouth. Your breathing is important in your meditation because this helps to strengthen your aura, it strengthens your energy, all right, it strengthens your state of mind. In your nose, out of your mouth. Want your palms facing upward. Now here in this meditation, you want to see yourself standing right next to you, where whatever position you're in, whether you're standing, whether you're sitting, you want to see yourself looking directly at yourself. now you want to see yourself look up in the air. See your spirit, your soul, you looking up in the air, and you seeing a gateway. This gateway with this blue aura, black lining around it. And it's just reverberating. Just reverberating. Now see this gateway. Now see yourself jump up and go into the gateway. Now you see yourself going into the gateway, and it looks like a path that you're walking down, and you're walking down this path, but now you begin to fly because this path has now become highly energetic. You're flying, and you're floating and flying, and you're moving at a very high rate of speed. It's a nice stop. Now you see yourself going through the path, turning to the left, now turning to the right, going up, now down, turning to the right again. This path is well lit and have trees and grass and flowers everywhere. Now, there you are, standing in front of a brown wooden door. Now see yourself knocking on that door. Knock on the door. You knock on the door, and now the door opens, and all that you see is darkness. All that you see is pure darkness. You see no light whatsoever. Don't be scared. Walk into the darkness. We are with you. There's no fear. Walking into the darkness, and now you see you illuminating in the darkness, and the darkness has now become the light, and you see that you are in a room, a cobblestone room, and the stones are brown and white with a little yellowish tan to it, you can see the room getting bigger and bigger, and now you see a hallway open. Walk down the hallway and enter the chamber of dragons. And there you stand. You see seven dragons. The one in the middle is blue. And on the left-hand side, there's one that's black. And on the right-hand side, there's one that's yellow. And then on the left-hand side again, you see one that's pink. And then on the right-hand side, you see one that's purple. And you look over on the left-hand side, you see an orange one. And then you look on the right-hand side once more, and you see a green one. These are the Council of Dragons. Seven and one, and one and seven. Ta'ashaki, Ayunegi. There's no use to bow down to them, because you are a titan. You are a deity wanting to gain the knowledge that you lost. You are a god. Now, as you stand before the Council of Dragons, do not see yourself speaking. See, standing before them, standing straight up, and say within yourself, Teach me the ways of the ancient. Teach me the ways of the old. Fill me with the ancient knowledge that belongs to me. For I am needing to return to my place of power for where I have come. Mata la ki sheta leda. Mere altaru nare ki. Meteto shapte talakya koma katana. Mara tierra shete te kirabu koto te nana tia hobo. Mutaka kute talile tibo. Yartito rotalakai tish. Satanika Mahatara ki te dahulu tupuka Mekmetik anada laka lalak lak lak liti kutu tak Tada la bobo Mora sieta te kita la tido
Mora sieta laka Tara na kune te sieta Sieta sa usa sa moku matana Sa 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 Dina Kuma Dina Siraka Kuma Niya Tarawlo Niro Kuma Dina Ora Saiti Kid.
You have now been given ancients of the ancients by those who come long before the Titans must and shall return into full power. This is your intelligence. This is your knowledge. It is all for you and only you, my brothers and sisters. This will not end because we are not going to take you back to whence you came, because your spirit needs to remain here for just a little while to receive the remaining teachings from these elder dragons. Thou world that die. My brothers and sisters, you are now in the realm of the dragons. You are now being taught and you will continue to be taught, and this will not end. Now this message must end, but your meditation does not have to end. You can continue on and remember the way that you came. Tarea kuna uhunati irahumagiri shinau naiaun irilumi nai irahu. Time. What takes a lifetime to learn from books will take minutes and sometimes seconds in the realm of the spirit. You can learn a lifetime of information in just 15 short minutes. My name is Sima Baturi Anu, Cimmerian Anunnaki. Yes, here to lead you into true power and true energy. Part Anunnaki, part dragon. That's who we are. Take you back to where you're supposed to be. All power to the multi-chakra celestial angelic beings. May chaos reign with you forever and ever. You will have visions after this. You will learn so much. You will continue to be taught. There's nothing for you to fear. The knowledge will continue to grasp a hold of you. You will increase in vibrations. Your frequencies will increase. There will be no one who can tell you anything outside of nature and spirit, because you will know. It is now time to bring back the titans, the true gods of this world, the deities of this world, those who are the creators of this world, the owners of this planet. Turn back to power, my brothers and sisters. Much power to you all. power to you all.
First question is it possible for two people who love each other to absorb the other person's energy, negative energy, with like the other person shortcomes, or could it cancel it out? And that goes to what people's perceptions of love is. I think we should, I'm just going to go ahead and ask that question because it's not in any order or anything. It's just thrown out, man. So is it possible for two people who love each other?
Okay, I don't think we need to be confused. Love is above negative energy.
That's right.
And it's also above the physical energy.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right, right.
The physical energy. Love is above that. So you must be clear on it and ask yourself, are both people reciprocating? It's a reciprocity question here.
Right.
And you must ask yourself to define what love truly is. And only you can define that in your own heart. And the best way to define that in your own heart is this. The best example is no different than a mother or a parent does with a child. The love is not based on what that person does for you. It just is.
Right.
You don't, if you got a child 8 years old, the child doesn't work, so that destroys that theory that the woman is now dealing with saying, I need a man with money. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You're capable of loving that child, although that child is totally dependent on you. You see what I'm saying? So it doesn't work. It doesn't even have to produce talents, because some people can say, I love you because my child is shallow, has some type of talent. My child gives me back something of enjoyment. No, this child can be retarded, and you can still love it. That's love because it just is. Look for the same things in your mate. That means that the person can have all kind of idiosyncrasies, but you know you love it. Now, not necessarily saying you need to accept certain pathologies that can also be detrimental to you. But I'm trying to give you a way to monitor what love is. You see, European society and the Western man tells you that I love a Michael Jordan. That people we feel. You know what I'm saying? A lot of Europeans, because a lot of Europeans have damaged heart chakras. Non-developed heart chakras. Some of this is based on culture. A lot of this is also based on genetics.
Wow.
You see. As a result, they produce a culture that is not based and is rooted based on the heart chakra. So the love is like, I like my car. Because my car makes me feel good. It makes me feel it's a status of my success. When that car starts to rusty out, starts to rot, fall apart, or it can just be a style that is no longer desirable, then it might make you feel something else. It might make you feel depressed.
So you're saying the difference is not how you feel about somebody as opposed to how that person makes you feel.
It's love is based on how you feel about a person regardless
of how they make you feel.
Okay. The false love is you're taking into account only how that person makes you feel.
Gotcha.
You see the difference?
All right.
White folks, which is a great example, because we live in Western society, so we don't need to fuck around.
Right, right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm making this tape for love for my people.
Right.
Understand what I'm saying? Because this is what we have to deal with, because our people are at a deficit and at a disadvantage because we can't come together as male and female.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So, let's not be funny with this mess. Because the white woman can come up in here and get any black man she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And she can look like 400 pounds
mm-hmm.
and in a goddamn wheelchair with one tooth.
Mm.
And can get a nigga.
All right.
A nice looking brother. That's how savage we are. Let's not be funny with this man. So this tape is not about white folks.
Right.
Now I know some people say, well, how can you write make a story about love and you don't include all, because we're not talking about some false love or people that I don't know. We're talking about the people that we come in contact with,
mm-hmm.
and in this particular case, the people that share the original energy when I get into this stuff.
Mm.
Okay?
All
right. When I get into this stuff, then you have to get another take, because it's going to be a long one.
It's going to be real long.
It's going to be an 8-hour, goddammit, maybe a 10.
Maybe 10 hours, but...
Now!
Okay.
But the point I'm trying to make is this. White folks were like a Michael Jordan. Because he has made them feel a certain way
right.
with his talents. But yet, they got people that's locked up in prison for fitting the description that look just like Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
But he is the same prototype of the man that's jumping up and down on the basketball court that is love. We want to be like Mike.
Mm.
Is the same prototype that they lock up every day just for looking a certain way. Am I bullshitting or not?
For real, that's it.
You see what I'm saying?
That's right. They pay money to see all these entertainers and athletes.
But yet they come from the place that produces the entertainers and athletes. We got thousands of them.
With talent
just like that, because anybody in the NBA tell you the best ball players in the NBA never went to the NBA.
That's right.
But my point here is Michael Jordan has produced a certain talent, a certain style,
mm-hmm.
to make them feel a certain way, so they can exclude him from the people that they lock down every day in a holocaust. You understand what I'm saying? So white folks who run European society, and European society in which we have found ourselves being caught up in, tells you that you love only based on how a person makes you feel. And the love we're talking about just is. That's true love.
Beyond feelings.
Beyond feelings and even beyond looks. When you truly get into this particular love, you'll even fall in love with a person's flaws.
Mm.
Now, I know this because I spent 7 years with a girl or a woman 11 years younger than I was.
Mm-hmm.
We got together, I was 31 and she was 20. And she had no flaws. Beautiful.
Mm.
Nice, beautiful breath. Nice complexion.
Mm-hmm.
No flaws on the body.
Mm.
And I was with her for 7 years and was content. And didn't necessarily mean I didn't love her, but I saw the dichotomy, or I saw the comparison whenever she did depart. And we went our separate ways. That was an agreement. We didn't break up. It was spiritually time for her to go. And my age catapulted me into the 40s, because I was like 38, 30, going on 39 at the time. So the range of women that I would deal with would be in their 40s and even in their 50s, 50 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, I've had two contrasts of youth within a couple of years, and I could tell the difference. I could tell the comparison. And to whereas I was smitten by the sisters that had the age on them. As a matter of fact, that's what turned me on the most. Now, although I'm using something physical, but I'm trying to say here is, love can do the same thing where you can actually become smitten, admiration, or a love for just the flaws. Because you're dealing with the essence that is hovering over. That's what this stuff we're going into some of this is about. And that's what love does. So on one way, we're talking about something above the negative energy, what the sister was actually talking about. So in so many words, again, the real origin of that is the same way you look at a child. It's how you feel about somebody other than how they make you feel.
The soul. Now, just so it deals with that particular part, this is the point I want to get to right here. Look at this. Some people need love. Some people's love is buried beneath layers and beneath the psychological problems and other patterns. Their feelings may be caught in a triangle of fears and insecurities hidden in the inaccessible. Some people are frightened by love and by their need for love and by the its entangling nature and seek instead material security. They cover a deeper hunger with greed and money and possessions. Some people seem to run from love, seeking pain and rejection as a way to avoid love's vulnerability. Males don't like to be vulnerable. They don't like that motherfucker to catch their ass. You can't fuck around and do the right thing and be calling a nigga late at night and shit to my, how you doing? What you doing? I ain't doing nothing. What you doing? I'm nothing. What you doing? You ain't got shit to say, but you know your man can't get off that damn phone. You don't like shit like that. So you don't like the vulnerability because you have ego. And I'm going to tell you what this book goes and says about this shit. And that's why I was telling you about it. You got to tap into this love story. Now this shit is coming back around. It's a good damn lecture. Because, see, it's kicking you in the ass by shit you don't think motherfuckers be talking about. That's knowledge. You see what I'm saying? It ain't about the black man is God. This is showing how the black man and black woman is God. It ain't talking about the things that you normally hear. That's what knowledge is. You see what I'm saying? Catch your fucking ass off guard. This is really talking to the male. Because you got to deal with that little bit. Oh, I ain't dealing with no goddamn little bit. You been talking to the goddamn boy. So one guy used to tell me, he said, man, be careful on all the niggas you be talking about your girlfriend. Whatever the shit is, you go through it yourself. Every damn body's problem is different, man. Whatever that you and that girl, I was in love like a motherfucker. I was going to all the damn niggas, you know, trying to hit, you know. Well, she, you know, and he's like, look, man. You're going to have to go through that shit. Whether it's fucked up, you need to know it. If it's good, you need to know that too. Quit talking to these damn niggas about that shit. They're going to give you their dog on thinking it could be ignorant on how they deal with a woman. This is some shit that you got to go through and it's unique. You see what I'm saying? So you don't have the vulnerability. Now, and some people are drawn by love deeper and deeper within themselves to the core of their being. They are drawn to the essence of love and the root and of the root of loving, in which the soul is love, love for God, and God's love for creation. So they're talking about the inner God. Ain't shit out there, but a hologram, a matrix. The heaven is within. They show you that on a movie stick model. You don't get it. To love a God other than yourself is to love a God inferior to yourself. Is it not written in your law? Ye are gods, and the scriptures cannot be broken. John chapter 10, verse 34-36. These who are drawn to the root of the love are mystics. See, there you go. You got on all the goddamn feds and that shit, but you ain't entered into the sanctum sanctorium. Watch it. This motherfucker say, this is the goddamn Moorish damn science right here. Hear this goddamn shit? Those who are drawn to the root of love are mystics. The mystics are not satisfied with surface patterns of love, or with the emotion tangle and insecurities of human loving, but they're still talking about that with that mate.
I thought love was just a passion.
Huh?
Love is just a passion.
Oh no, it's more than that. It's more than that. That's what the cracker done told
me. That's what that
fez
on your head for
this vagina. Look. They see the pure wine, the more potent passion. What you think passion is? you would see someone, listen what the woman say. She say, oh, he good. She said, I have sex and I enjoy it. She said, but passion ain't real. See, it's one thing to have sex, I'm enjoying this, I'm really good. You get that through the feet. Listen, no, motherfucker, when you start talking to a nigga, but the passion is there. You be saying some damn shit that you be so embarrassed, you might blow your brains out an hour later. Bam! That can't be, you know, humans can be reduced to that kind of thing. But when it's passionate. Shit, that's all it is. I ain't talking about you say you stroke, oh, that's some good shit. You can get that with a prostitute. She's like, you know, you really get all right. Now I'm talking about some passionate shit. That's the other realm when you start goddamn talking in tongues. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking, you done go where, you done talk, yeah. Here it is, you a big old grown ass motherfucking man down there, 200 pounds, and you talking like a motherfucker ain't. You know what shit is down there, pillow talk? But you can see, that right there lets you know it's coming over, but you can't get that with a motherfucker who you ain't in sync with. You can fuck a motherfucker that you might be mad at, you don't, but you don't get to that level. You understand what I'm saying? You might get a groan and moan and stuff like that, but that's friction. I'm talking about where you talking about the goddamn 8-year-old. You been that shit like that? You talking about an 8-year-old, she'll be going grown ass motherfucker down there 40, and she talking like a motherfucker 2-year-old. Know what I'm saying? That kind of shit. That's passion, man. This is the mishmash. They need, so, they seek the pure wine, the more potent passion. They need the essence of love, the divine substance. For centuries, the mystics lived, the mystics have been walking a secret path to love, the path that leads to the shores of love, the infinite ocean. Now, there's a chapter in this shit called Love and Annihilation. Now, this is the key. 103 is a book. Llewellyn Vaughn Lee. And this is what you got to do. To cross over the barrier. That's what I did in my motherfucking heart. Opened up on my ass, and I'm going to that in a few minutes. You get to a point where you go so deep into it, they say the supers can go so deep into it, until what happens is it neutralizes the fucking ego. One minute you be reasoning. Motherfucker ain't got shit. She's fucked up. This is so bad. Shit, I got this, I got this money, I got this, I got that. And then you'll find yourself about an hour and still doing it, and the shit start wearing on you. And then what you gotta do is you just gotta surrender. Then you go, you get to the point, you go, I can't take it no more. I just gotta surrender. You know, some shit like that. You just gotta surrender to the shit. And when you surrender, the energy takes you to the other level. You got the neutralizer of that goddamn ego, which is the physical matrix and reason, logic, rationale. But the shit that's on you, it ain't the love that you take. It's some primordial shit that's on the inside of you. It's coming from the universe outside. And you have to neutralize that shit. And when you neutralize that shit and surrender to it, see, sisters got egos too. This is in another form. There's the classic male ego, but sisters got egos too. You see what I'm saying? So when you surrender to that shit, and so they're saying in here that you have to lose yourself in this thing. Love is a true fire that burns us, the passion that destroys us. You got to be destroyed. The soul's love for God, which is this inner thing, frees one from oneself. And yet the freedom can seem like death as we die to the passion who we think we are. You think you goddamn Bobby Hemmett. You something else. And this is taking you back to the primordial realm of who you really are. A chaos God. You see? The level makes the journey from separation to union, and the journey that begins with love and draws him back into love. And this love gives freely and yet a price. And yet at a price. The love has only one self. The lover has only herself to offer. And this love is the soul demand. So in so many words, you are destroyed and annihilated with this shit. And once you did it, not. So once you annihilate yourself with this shit, you're free. You see what I'm saying? It's just like anything else. It's in the goddamn movie Fight Club. Two movies came out. You got The Matrix. They put a movie out called Fight Club. What they did is, they fuck people up. So what they do is they'll put a movie out. Just like these curse words. It ain't registering to you because I'm cursing. That's why I do it this way. To break through. But they put a movie, and they put all this violence in the damn movie. So most sisters, they go see them and say, I can't take the violence. They be beating up each other. But you got to listen to what Brad Clinton Pitt is telling the guy. He said, until you give up everything, until you ready to lose it all, until you ready to give up, you can't gain this shit. And in the movie, well, shit, 2 years old. In the movie, there's two people, and there's two people in the movie, and there ain't but one person in the movie, and the other one is an alter ego. But if you listen to what Brad Pitt is saying throughout the whole movie, he's dropping on this shit, and he's telling the motherfucker to give up every damn thing. You see what I'm saying? Because the guy before was into the corporate world. He was trying to find out what bedroom signifies him as a person. And what dinette time signifies him as a person. But he wasn't sleeping at night. And he was going to all these self-help clubs because he wasn't satisfied with himself. Well, the movie Fight Club, they got all these men in these corporate suits, but they're beating the hell out of each other at night because they're fighting against that goddamn structure of what the physical reality say who you are, but that's not who you are. He's saying that say, you're not your clothes, you're not your car, you're not your fucking house. You got to give up all that shit. And when you give it up, you're free.
Me telling my mama and my friends all about. like strawberry.
Black ice cream.
Black ice cream. Sometimes I can't find the words to say when I'm inside you and you poop me back and I'm in your ear. It's like the nothing but we love. It just comes out like life.
Joy right there, y'all.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio, enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right. Greetings, everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of Spiritual Soul Sunday. I am your host, Haroon. As you guys know, the Ear Family joins us every weekend. We are here at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, and thank you all to the listeners who listen in consistency. Definitely appreciate you guys for that. So today is this love. We have done a lot of broadcasts on love, but what I have noticed here at Enhancing Awareness Radio since the relaunch in 19 is that we've done many levels of love. Love. This whole aspect of love, is this love? What is love? And the number one thing I've noted, even for myself, because when I speak on myself and I speak in my trial and error, in my learning, balance ego, if you would, this, the word love, the word ego, those two words right there. And then we have balance, So what is love? Is this love? I wanted to do a broadcast today and just kind of, see where we're at on this whole topic of love. Let's go ahead and start with saying Bobby Hemmett. He made some great pointers. That's why I never deleted those, because he is a great speaker when it comes to the topic. What I first want to say is how many of us, when it comes to the aspect of love, will admit that we don't know? Okay? We don't know. I sure as hell don't. You know, even still today, you know, there is a part of me that wants to say I do, but truly deep down, you guys, I'm still learning. You know what I mean? No excuses or anything like that. You know, I come from a toxic bloodline. You know, my family, my family is terrible. You know, that's just the truth. You know, that I want to say this. Terrible in a sense of it's love, but it's love on a scale that many will not understand. I think when it comes to a lot of this love that's being given out here, especially in these bloodlines and these families, I think that it's because we understand love from a certain aspect, and then we learn to understand, and then we learn to overstand. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of the bad things and a lot of the, quote, hatred towards each other, you know, because hate is only love turned inside out. You know what I'm saying? So anger and rage, and I don't like that bitch, that's my sister, and, you know, drama and all of this. You know, I said there has to be something that we are missing because we are understanding love on a lower understanding mindset vibration. You know what I'm saying? So what if we interpreted love, you know, from a that bad thing or, you know, let's take myself an example. You know, my mother, she really didn't know how to love me in the aspect of what Auntie Eldred say, kissy poo-poo, you know, type. My mom wasn't a loving, she was a loving, but she was not a kissy poo-poo type woman. You know, she was a very dominant Aries alpha. Her way of loving may be, you know, throwing me out, you know, over the cliff, you know what I'm saying, and me having to learn how to fly on my own. That may be her way of love, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, a child may not understand it, you know, right then, but as they grow their wings, you know, they will begin to understand. And that's just my personal example, as I am still coming to understand the many different levels of love. Okay, so Bobby Heeman made a point where the ego is the physical matrix. The ego is what we have built up as a protective mechanism in order to, you know, survive out in this world in which we call the matrix. Okay, and Eternal, you're unmuted if you want to drop in, if you want to come on in. Peace on to you. How you feeling? How's the weekend going?
Great. Greetings. How you feeling?
I am feeling determined in the moment, just driven with passion.
No, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah. As they call it, what the advances do, they say it's a 7-day, you know, the awakening, and we have creation as a 7-day. We have strength days, and that's why I like what you're saying about as far as love, like how much is it really to a point where we'll start to do this unconditional, you know, getting up, laying down, getting up, laying down, getting up, getting up, getting up, getting up, getting up, to a point where you're like, man, I need a day off, you know. This is a real awakening to how much do you have love, to where, you know, you're not basically depleting yourself as you give out love. Because, as Bobby said, some people look at conditions for love, and then there's unconditioned to love. So if you can't describe it, it's still considered love. If you describe it, it's still considered love. So now is so many ways to describe love as unconditional to conditional to what we call it unconscious love. So now it's conscious love. Like, if you do something for me, that's like me aware of knowing that you love me. You know what I mean? So, like, as an example, the amazing one. Like, I got up today, and my significant was saying to me, she was like, yo, like, I want you to have some time and space to yourself. So I didn't bother you, you know, like on a regular to get you up and, you know, have you do things with me as a function. So I'm just let you lay down because I noticed you were going through a lot throughout the 7 days and I was there to see it. You know what I mean? Sometimes you don't, we get around and we want to love other people so much. And not to say that the same love that you would give your significant. It would be just, let's say you got to get that finance going in your pocket. So you got to have a love for that in order to get that going. So, yet, it's not going to be the same love you have for your feminine energy, for that significant. So you'd be like, okay, well, now I got to give a different type of love towards the being that I'm with. So now, just like in time, you might love time. You might love time so much that you don't want nobody to break your time. And usually if you find out, like, let's say you depend on someone, you say, okay, well, I want this person to come in at this particular time. And let's say they don't show up. Now, when that person don't show up, do you get mad and irritated because the person didn't show up? Do you get mad or irritated if the person came in late? These are the things that we have to look at. Do you really love the being? Or are you just loving the uses of this being? You know what I mean?
Oh,
and so if you
that part.
You got to get better at it. Like, these are the beginnings of beginnings of beginnings. And it's going to continue to be like that. So you start to say, okay, this was what I was challenging myself into. And now, because I'm being challenged in this moment, do I know how to do it differently? Do I know how to express it differently to where I'm not actually causing more of an issue when, you know, usually it's not even an issue. You know what I mean? It just so happened to be that it could have irritated you. However, how much of irritation really is on the outside versus the inside of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
When we run into that irritation on the outside, it's mainly because it came from the inside.
Mm.
Just like we call God. We love God, right? We love God so much. Yet that we call God out on the outside scale. This is what makes it a little different in everybody's religion. Like, you should have
can
a God inside. Just like,
Can you please expand on that, Eternal? Can you please expand on what you, and I know you probably was leading up to it, but like expand on that, because what do you mean that whatever's happening on inside, you know, create, can you break that down in layman's terms if you can?
You can experience being sick. And because you're feeling sick, no one sees your sickness. And you're walking around and everybody's like, hey, how you doing? Everything good? You know, can you, you know, give me this paper that you were supposed to send me yesterday and blah, blah, blah. And they just want you to basically be like you was yesterday, the day before, and all them other days. However, they don't see your inside. So they're not expressing how that looks or is when you start to show it on your outside. Now, if you're a person that's really good, like the poker face, you'll hide all of that, you know, like especially women. Now, I'm not dissing women because I said that. I'm saying especially women because they have a point of when there's a cycle going on, we are, as men, we are unaware of it until we see something that, you know, you might be familiar with. Your mama might have showed you these are the things that's going on with a woman's cycle, or your sister or someone that was close to you that finally could tell you about the feminine aspect that we as men do not ever know unless we start to get these familiarizations. That's why it's important to learn your inside just as much as the outside. And why do I expand on that is because this is where your feelings are at. If you don't have feelings, you cannot taste, touch, hear, smell, or even comprehend. So that comes from your empathy and your sympathy. How do you sympathize? How do you empathize? You know, most people actually are like murderers. They became murderers because their inside wasn't met. And so now they're going to meet it just that it's more in a radical way, more of a confusing way to the outside world that's looking in on this being that they probably should have did that way long time ago. They just choose not to, you know, because they had their own worldly things that they were dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when we're looking at inside, you know, outside thing, it's very much familiar to a lot of us. We just aren't familiar to it on lifestyle. How do you make it your lifestyle? How do you make it to a point where I'm going to make it my goal to look at people differently versus I'm going to just treat everybody the same. If you treat everybody the same, they're going to show you different.
Oh, yeah. See? There is no one glove that fits all. And that's for everything, you guys. You know, we are taught, you know, in school that, one glove fits all. Underneath it all, you guys, it's one glove fits all. Everybody needs to make a 90 on this particular test. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how, you know, it's been written. Well, it's how they wrote it. But it goes against our eternal dialogue. You know what I mean?
And that's why it's important to learn that the eternal life, the Ankh, the what they call it, Ashanti Crux. Why was that created? Because it was the knowing of how buildings were built, how the pyramid was the indestructible. That's why they end up using that same type of style to create cement, and they called it a spade, so that they can, you know, create off of what that was a triangle. And so from one end being very small, getting to a wide end creates a triangle. And this is the same thing as the apex on the top of the mountain. It's this highest peak that we in the personification, we start to look at things and say, okay, well, let's start making everything with the highest peak. So that way, at the top, that'll be the indestructible. And whatever, you know, hits it, it'll just slide on down. And they just keep on going to where it needs to go. So that's why you see a lot of our houses. They're built like pyramids. Everything we know is basically older than us. However, we're just as old as that. And because we don't look at these two things in the same of it, that's how we still know that we're young, learning some old things. Or we're old, learning some young things. And it's, you know, that's how the outside and the inside basically relate off of each other. Each one got to have the same of what we call it, balance. Because if it ain't balanced, you'll see. Because if it's balanced, you also still will see. It just makes it a difference.
Yeah.
On, do you like this being unbalanced?
You know,
and this
you know,
is what
we call, I was going to say, I'm actually dealing with something now, you know, in my personal, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, I know that I'm supposed to do it, you know what I'm saying? But I keep doing it. It's a total imbalance, and it goes totally against, you know what I'm saying, where I know I'm supposed to be, but I just keep doing it out of a habitual habit, you know? So it's like, okay, you know, I know internally it's not working, but that's that conversation we have with ourselves. Like, I know this isn't working, so like you just stated, do you like this imbalance or, you know,
that's real, because you get around, you know, the livelihood of other people, and you want to still show that, you know, you're a part of what they are a part of, or you can handle it better than they can handle it. And it's just like a friend of mine, she was taking care of the sister's hair, and the sister started speaking, and she said, "Oh, I ain't going to drink like that again." And I'm thinking, okay, she must have went out last night. And then it just came out like that. So she said, "Yeah, I went out last night and I was drinking, but the other sister, she didn't know how to handle her drink." And she's like, "You know, I ain't drinking in a while anyway." So, but when I came back to it, it was like, you know, coming back to something that you was used to, and you know, you don't want to be used to these type of things. And so she started seeing the negative in the reverse of it, because she stayed away from it for quite some time. That's just like, you know, you eating something that's not good for you, and you start to eat it, and you say, "Wait a minute, my stomach hurt. I don't know where that came from." But then you stop eating it for like a month or two. Then you came right back to it again. You ate it and said, "Oh, that was that feeling. That was that feeling."
Yep.
And so now you're like, you know what, I don't think you need that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what Buddha does. Buddha takes a turn.
Yep.
Buddha would take a time, or like, let's say within a year, he traveled around the world. And wherever he, you know, laid his head at, that's basically what he looked at, you know, to eat, so that he can figure out that world in that area. So it gets to a point where even the most disciplined finds the undisciplined of themselves. So they feed him pork. He eats it. Now, of course, he eats it. However, he eats it with the idea of knowing that if this is bad for me, the intent of finding the good out of it. so that some of us will eat it without the intent of eating it again. Some of us will eat it so we'll know what that pig went through when he ate it. So these are how we end up taking on the SU. The SU represents going down into the hood, as they call it, the projects or the park area. Be accustomed to what that is that may have been a negative to a lot of people, yet we take this on so that we can become, as they call it, in your body, you get a free radical. And the free radical basically is the negative in your body. Now, I'm saying free radical like it's a negative, like it's a bad thing. However, the negative takes in whatever negative you put in the body, right? And then it clones it so it can beat it. Means like, what is that? So that's reverse osmosis. How does the body break down stuff that is negative in your body that you couldn't handle, you couldn't take care of? And this will be considered as Ampu. So Ampu takes care of your waste. And what we call in the waste is in the intestine. So we call that a pepi. A pepi is basically the snake, a big anaconda snake in your stomach that gets rid of all the stuff that's going on in the stomach. However, if you ate, a lot of meat, that meat, when your body's getting hit by the heat, it starts to congeal. And once it starts to congeal and if it got blood in there, it's going to be basically thick. And so now it's going to make a thicker inner liner in your intestines, which can cause stones and all kind of damage. What a pep is, as the snake, is basically the interpretation of how a snake will eat something, and now all that stuff is in his body. You can see it, like, outside the body of the snake, what's going on in the snake. Like, oh, that snake must have ate a rat. Oh, that snake, you're probably not going to eat in 6 months. Well, for us, we ate it in one day, and now we're getting ready to eat again. So we're basically clogging our pipes up, while Ampu, the free radical, is running around seeing what's going on as you thought was negative. Now he finds it or she finds it, and now, like with a staff, pushes it out. Now, metaphysically pushing it out, yet the staff we need is basically the caduceus. The staff we need is basically the chlorophyll. The staff we need is basically like a vine or a tree, things that basically grow out of the earth. So now, when we're speaking this aspect, is it like celery that's stringy and basically cleanse the body out of the intestines? These are basically human colon cleansers. The strings in sweet potato, which we call wild yams, they got strings in there. So it's just the idea of like kale. Kale is more of a scraping type to help the intestines cleanse itself. And that's why it's important to learn your lifestyle and then put your lifestyle with how you live in on a daily basis wherever you go. So that way, whenever you're going around and, you know, somebody say, oh, there's nothing wrong with eating meat, and you're like, okay, well, is there something wrong with parasites, though? Is there something wrong with having eggs in your body that's coming from those parasites? Now, I get it that some people eat bacteria because they feel like they've got a strong enough stomach that they can reverse the bacteria and get it out of their body. However, if the bacteria stays in your body, it's now toxic to your body. And now you got basically poison in your body, and you're creating more poison, and you think that's not going to build up. That might be where the issue starts. And this is why Ampu is in charge of the underworld aspect. This is why they say, like the sister said, she said, how come all these religions got all these gods, but they got the same Satan? I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because we're fighting same one death. Thing that's basically showing you different variants. They said, if we knew where we went wrong, we wouldn't have separated God from all the other gods.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if we really knew that, we wouldn't separate God from being a goddess.
Separation is awesome. You know, eternal apart. Something came over me, and something came from within me. Let me say that. And it says gender roles is a part of the manipulation too. Didn't quite
right.
understand.
And that's where
it.
The principles.
Mhm.
That's why the principles got shortened. That's why it was important to switch it. Like in Timothy, 14 to 11. 4 to 11, it might, or 4 to 14, maybe the verses. In Timothy, they, 2 Timothy, they talk about woman is not supposed to speak. Matter of fact, let me just pull it up that way. It'd be like, but yeah, at the same time, while I'm on it, they were saying that she wasn't supposed to teach, speak. You know, there's a whole bunch that when we say demoralized, and we say, okay, well, you know, who made the Quran? Who made the Bible? And who made all these other religions? My thought is this. If you even was to think about it, is it man that wrote all this stuff up, or is it woman that wrote all this stuff up? So we don't ask these kind of questions. And so we say, well, it's supposed to be written by these interpreters, and then you're like, well, who's the interpreter? Is it a man or is it a woman? And that's going to be like the debate, figure that out, because the Bible plenty enough talks about women, just that the woman didn't write nothing about herself. How did that work?
How did that work? Sounds like emotional manipulation period,
right,
across the board, guys, is what's running
that's
this
right.
matrix. You know, it's
and we feed
how,
we feed it.
Hello. It is our fault.
So we got, it was 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2:12 is the 12th verse. Look at that. They're going to put it on the 12th verse, and they're going to put two being two ball canes, 1 Timothy, the first one, right? So it is the 12th verse of the second chapter of the first epistle to Timothy. It is often quoted using the King James Version translation, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Like, this is that love we're talking about, right? Then there are 93, 9 plus 3 is 12, see how they're doing it, who speak in the Bible, now, here we got 49, which is 13, the death going back into resurrection, of whom are named. These women speak a total of 14,056 words collectively, roughly 1.1% of the total words in the Holy Bible. Some of the biblical women are prominent and are well known, like Jesus' mother Mary, who utters just 191 words. Now, how is it we get all these women that speaking, yet none of them wrote it down? None of them wrote it for the Bible. So we getting the man to write for the woman, and the woman, did she have a hearsay or no? I'm still confused about that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think she had much in those times, as we know.
She's not supposed to speak, teach.
Yeah.
She ain't supposed to show no authority. That means right now, to this day, that means there should be no women as pastors.
They spies.
None of them supposed to be in that realm up there, because that's an authority.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it, this is an example of two ball king. It's going to always go back to that. It's always going back to beacon becoming a deacon, and deacon becoming this light, the light being a bearer, and a bearer showing light. It's like illuminating energy. We don't know about the illuminators. Now, how are you going to give me a picture without showing me the scenery?
Mm.
How that work? I'm going to be okay with that?
Hey. It's definitely something to think about, something to ponder, you guys. I think that we are shifting, and we already know we are shifting. Not I think, we are shifting into, you know, the energy space, they call it the Aquarius, you know, whatever the labels, however we want to describe it. Who knows? Who don't know? What's most important is you can feel this, okay? So however you want to articulate, you can feel that things are not working how they work. Okay, so with us feeling that, You know what I'm saying? We have to move with the current. Or not. You know, we could, or not. As she says. Or not.
Right.
I mean, you know, you don't have to. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we have to be mindful that there will be consequences. And there are, that's on any level, guys. There are consequences which, you know, you probably need to experience.
Yes.
So it's okay.
Yes. And why did you say experience? The experience is coming from an ex and a peer of your aunts of thought. So when we say experience, there's etymon. We have to study etymon. Etymon was your mother's language. That's how she told you, ah. You knew what that meant. I ain't got to tell you what that means, do I? No, I ain't got to tell you, do I?
Nope.
Not at all. She taught you that. Now they say, oh, you don't have a language. Wait a minute. What do you mean I don't have a language? My mama taught me, ah, is wrong. I know it's not a good thing right now. So you can't tell me I don't have a language.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an example. Okay. And your feelings are where your senses come from the most. And because if we don't tap into the feelings the most, the empathy and sympathy from the oxytocin, from that milk that mama gave us from out of her breast milk, she couldn't do it but so much. She lost that strength to keep that going, that momentum to keep that going, because she was stressing about her man leaving her. She was stressing about her man cheating on her. She was stressing on the man hitting on her. She was stressing about the man demoralizing her. She was stressing about, if he is going to leave me, it's because I'm pregnant. She's stressing about, now I can't make that finance that I was doing before I got pregnant. This is the example of Sarah Bartman all over with the human zoo trafficking. And if we learn about Othello, that's why it's very important to learn. All our men need to learn about Othello so we do not repeat the Othello mentality. And what I mean by that is during this manhood, when we decide to come from boy to manhood, we say, okay, these are the finer things I want to start loving, like my car and my apartment, my shoes and all the material worldly things. Yet this is the description that we gave for feminine as a principle. And then we end up switching it up as this gender, and that's how the gender got demoralized. So as a man, we have to look at, if I'm looking at this book, like, hey, so I'm going to go here. Whenever the Quran states that woman, it simply narrates the story without mentioning their names. Now, how do you do that? That's called stereotyping. If I say Buddha, right, I say Buddha saved these people, you're going to be like, Buddha who? I need to know more than that. Just like John saved these people. Who's John? John who? John Doe? So the book of Allah is not interested in actors. It is in the action itself which counts. So now you know this is metaphorically speaking. It won't give you no particular woman in particular. It was a characteristics and the personifications of. One could say that Miriam, his mother of Jesus, is the only woman who was named in the Quran. The Quran asserts that men and women have equal dignity, yet you didn't speak much of them. Okay. In the Quranic worldview, men's and women's actions are worth the same in the presence of Allah. Mental virtues are valuable for both men and women, and Allah appreciates them. Men and women both own what they earn. Now, when we get people like us as men, we start to manipulate the conversations, like to say, if you was to pass away, you're going to have all these women waiting for you in heaven. Who came up with that type of stuff? That's the ego right there. That cannot be, this is what our intention is supposed to think of. Right. Somebody got a grip of an imagination and then expect all of us to go by that same imagination.
One glove fits all.
Okay, here we go. And so we know that same example that you said about the one glove is they say one God is all the gods. And now for that, when you get lemon, you squeeze it, you can make lemonade. This same aspect is what they call Ogun. Ogun is the one who's diligent. yet at the same time, he could be a rapist or she could be a rapist. So the aspect of one who can now create this steel, are they using it for a weapon, a toy, or a tool? And there's always going to be a trinity to it. This is where the trinity of the Tubal Cain, the Cain and Abel and Seth. Cain being able to do it because he can do it. But then how can he do it unless he has Abel, ability to do it? And then Seth being the third generational connection to yourself, learning your baby stage, your manhood stage, and now you the wise old man. Yet you could be an elderly being old and not wise at all. So now who do you really love? Do we really love how things are supposed to be in a togetherness? Do you see the father as growing up to be the grandfather, get kicked out of the so-called connection of our people? Or is that grandfather being not the grumpy old man or the sexually addictive man or the angry alpha man, you know, or the broken man or the wounded man? This all comes from Heal Thyself and Queen of Fools book. So if you look at how to be ahead of yourself, you got to see where your past of yourself is at. That's why I said, if we get into the screenwriting before the Bible even had an existence, we knew Othello, and Othello was a propaganda to us as people, as Moors, who changed the Moors navigation, ended up being a Negro. And that's how us as a people on the majority thinks this way. I mean, we can go even to Marcus Garvey and still see that he calls us Negroes. And so there's a point of saying, okay, wait a minute, Marcus Garvey, he's good at what he was at that time. However, I don't call myself a Negro. And I know people around me don't call themselves Negroes. However, because he'd been around the Tomahoos or the superiors of the Tomahoos, he had both societies he was dealing with. And so as a buccaneer, as that hat that's on his head, it looks like you could be Boulé. There's a lot that goes into how you respect Catholicism and all of these other religions that basically downsize the woman. And then now let's look at how he treats or has a cure for the woman, or did he never had a cure for the woman and it was all about showing communism and capitalism without calling it that. And we all just kind of fell again at doing that at the wayside. Did you know he had two women named Amy?
I didn't, but I'm not.
The first woman named Amy, she was a royalty. That's how he got to even be popular. If it wasn't for her, he wouldn't have had no way to get all the way back over here for the first time to Detroit and then go back and then get your stuff right and then come back out and go to Harlem. Because now you know where the resources
out.
Really are. Huh?
They left
yeah.
all of those parts out. In history.
Well, I can't let you see the whole side of it. I'm going to give you a part side of it.
Right.
You know, when you walk down
I'm
one side of the street. That's
history.
Right. When
I'm
you walk down on one
history.
Side of the street. Okay. So
okay.
when you walk down on one side of the street, do you look both ways or you look down that one way the street the car is supposed to be coming?
Both. Come on.
Yeah. I got to look both ways. I ain't trying to get hit. It might be a bicycle
yeah.
coming the other way.
Yeah,
I can't just say, oh, it's one way. I'm going to disrespect because this sign says it's one way. I'm going to go this one way. Nah, it ain't even going to be like that. Some things are way different for us in our complex of how we're looking at things that we got to say, wait a minute, I got to look at it from three angles, maybe even four angles, just to see myself in the truest of this aspect and say, okay, now I see the past, the present, and what the near future has or can offer me. You know what I mean? If you take a left on one angle, right, and the person say, that's the wrong way, then you got to go three rights to see your left then. You got to go around it, you know, maybe three times in order to figure out that's what the one way was wrong at in the first time. When I showed a person, I said, do you know a book does not teach you reflexology? I mean, your book won't show you how to be quick, like your reflexes. And it was like, yeah, a book can teach you that. I said, no. How? So I give him an example. I said, you can do this on somebody, too. This would be great for you to give them the example because you'll be surprised and amazed by how many people have to think about it before they actually move. Now, the thing is, you got to do it fast, though. You got to do it fast, bro. This is how they're going to find out how they got much love for themselves, where they just in a blink of an eye, or they just still stutter stepping. All right, so you're going to stand in front of them. You're going to say, all right, I want you to imagine. See, right here, we're going to already get messed up right here, because in our imagination, we don't really see right now in front of us. So you're going to say, imagine, I am a tree, right? And you're in the middle of the forest, and you put your arm up high as you can, right? And you say, and if the tree falls, what do you do? And you just go ahead and just let your arm swing to the head. Let it hit him in the head. Let it hit him in the head, bro. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Let your hand swing down and hit him in the head. Then they're going to be like, you move. And be like, well, why are you still standing there then? Let's do this again. Let's do this again. They're going to be like, oh, snap. What the freak was I doing? See, your mind has to tell you something. You got to wait till your mind tell you something. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Your mind been taught you all these things. All you got to do is use your senses.
Because
where's your mind anyway? Where is your mind? Where the mind
at? In your brain, so we say, right?
Right. So, and the brain being one location, right? Isn't the brain in one location?
Right.
But can your mind be everywhere? Some people
okay.
say, I'm losing my mind. I need a piece of my mind. I need peace so I can get my mind right. So they're telling you it is not just in the brain, right? It's everywhere. Mind is mental. That's what we were taught. Mind is mental.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could attack your mental, then I attack you with everything around you. You just didn't even know it. So now, there's a point. Mm. How much do you have a self-love or self-hate that you've been hating yourself, that you numb yourself out of seeing everything around you? You don't care. Mm. It's just numbing you out.
Mm-hmm. You said how
you got to have that love.
We do it a lot. We do it a lot subconsciously, you know? So.
And if you think about it, look at it. It's an example of you standing straight up on your 45-degree, right, and you at a 90 angle, what they call a right angle, but yet they don't talk anything about the left angle because they want it to be a bad thing. So as you're standing there, the sun hitting you in the face as sunrise, the sun noon, and the sunset. At the highest point, it'll be right above your head, exactly 90 degrees. However, we don't say 100 degrees, do we? We don't even say 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's the confusion right there in itself, we're not thinking about the 9-month gestation of birth that mama gave us. We're not thinking about the 10% that man gave woman to do 90% of the work so they could not really be equal at all. Yeah, we say man and woman are equal. They like 50-50. Somebody is lying to you right there. If you drew a line, a circle, right, and put a line down that middle of that circle, and you say, okay, now I'm going to do a human the same way. Are you going to find all the body parts right and all the body parts on the left equal?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
And so
the foundation is
our reality. Okay.
Yep.
All we need is examples to see ourselves. That's how much we know everything. We need to see examples, the X and AMP and L's, examples to learn what we didn't know, we already knew. And through those examples, you start to see it faster, quicker, from the past, present, near future, of what else you can do. That's why Trinity is very important. Now, duality, we always talk about black and white. We always talk about man and woman. We always can talk about left and right. We always talk about day and night. However, the day represents a nationality. The night represents a nobility to the nationality. So this is why when we say at night, we act like freaks. You ain't got to act like freaks. You could be nobilities. And, of course, nights don't make sense. Like this one. All right, how about this? One night, a king and a queen went in the castle. Out came three the next day. What happened?
I'm sorry. She was in my ear talking about 90 seconds. I didn't hear that last part. Go ahead. What was that?
One night, a king and a queen went into the castle. Out came three. Mm-hmm. What happened? The next day, what happened?
A king and a queen went into the castle. Out came three. What happened? I don't know what happened. I want. I want to say somewhere.
Did you miss it? Did you miss the example? I'm going to say it one more time. One night.
Yes.
One night.
One night.
A king and a queen went into the castle. Out came three the next day.
Okay.
Did you get it, Jimmy?
So yeah, I do. So that was supposed to happen because one night, one king and one queen went in the castle.
There you go. Come
right
on, bro.
Now, it depends on the terminology in which you are trying to describe night as in day or night as in night shining armor. Night as in
right.
So I see how easy that can get misinterpreted, but yes.
See how easy that can be?
I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is what day things that we call day and the nationality things that we would not know because as soon as we wake up, good morning. It's good to mourn, isn't it?
Right.
Good to marrow your bones. Mourn your marrow, your bones.
Mourn.
This is Skull and Bones conversation. This is a Jack and Jill
mm-hmm.
as a secret society conversation. We wouldn't know these things
mm-hmm.
unless we try to do some studying. You know, passing these nursery rhymes to your children. When you know that was a secret society that gave that to your child so that you can have your child become dysfunctional by the time they get old enough to realize it'll be too late.
Mm.
This is why they said mother wasn't supposed to be teaching because they wanted to be the mother. This is why the man wears that long gown and the cape and has to be judged when that's really what your mother would have been doing. So they're taking the places of our mothers, the nurses. Now, why is it on me like a pet peeve? Because my mother is a nurse. And so who else but Marcus Garvey bring us a whole streamline of nurses? And we've been nurses ever since. And now people get more nursery than rhymes and rhymes than nursering. And then now the woman and the man ain't even getting along in the household because she got to go take care of somebody else's that ain't her house. And notice I said ain't because this is our language. And because they say, oh, he said ain't. Now you want to colonize and localize people. And where they're supposed to become. You must be coming from the South. You talk like that. The South has more politeness than you would up North. Yeah, at the same time, technology is coming from up North. So now maybe I can act like I'm more intelligent than the South. This is how we've been separated.
Mm.
We've been separated by ignorance. Now, how can you love that?
Mm. There it is. There it is. How can you love that? All right. All right, you guys. Well, we have reached the 2-hour mark. I want to keep the broadcast down to about 2 hours. That's if we don't have a long lecture. You know, sometimes the lectures are long. So today we didn't have really a real long lecture, but it was a good broadcast. This was one of those ones that I had, like, on standby for, like, you know, just in case we have something scheduled and, you know, last minute. I have shows that, you know, I kind of put to the side, you know, to do just in case something doesn't go accordingly. But this is one of the ones I said, you know what, let's just see how this goes. And it went well. So, you know, note to myself, trust my very own processes and how some of these broadcasts turn out. So great. I feel as all broadcasts are, you know, in divinity. You know what I'm saying? So just to kind of end, guys, you know, it's a good thing to ask yourself, like you kind of just said, you know, how can you love that? Is this love? Is this love for real? You know, is this the type of feeling you feel? Bob Marley said it. Is this love? Is this love that we're feeling? Okay, I gotta end with that, y'all. I wanted to end with something else, but Bobby's in my head. He's like, nah, you gotta play my song, man. You gotta play my joint. All right, Bob, I'm gonna play your song to end us. But, yeah, it's this love that I'm feeling, you know. Love is above negative energy and physical energy. The ego is the physical matrix. Love is. When is the last time you asked yourself? When is the last time that you've done a self-evaluation and asked yourself? Love is. What does love mean to you and for you? What is it not? You know what I'm saying? Are we really adhering to our very own values of what, you know, you feel love should be? And is our expectations rooted in ego measurements or you know, internal value. You know what I mean? So it's definitely something to definitely examine for yourself. Love is how you feel about someone, not how someone makes you feel. Ooh, that one. Love is how you feel about someone, not how someone made you feel. That is powerful right there. Because there's a lot of shit that I don't like that people could do, but that does not change the fact that I love that being. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they can piss me off. They can, you know, fight me, hit me in the mouth. You know what I mean? But, you know, I might be mad for only a second. But really, at the end of the day, if this person is if this is the person or a person's or family, you know what I'm saying, that I'm choosing to, you know, attach to in this carnation, you know what I'm saying, is love is how you feel about someone, not how someone made you feel. You know what I'm saying? So I'm doing examples on the air for my own damn mind, but for you guys, you know what I'm saying? What is love? Is this love? What is love? Love is dot, 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 dot. Something for yourself. All right, Eternal, you can take us out. You might be muted, Eternal. We can't hear you. There we go.
The bridge that we have shows us that anybody can cross it. However, do they give a toll towards their crossing? You know, that's why Legba sits there to show you, are you unconditionally ready or prepared for this type of love? Like a Tama who came up to me and touched my pieces on my neck and was like, what is this? What do you do? And I said, what do you do? You know, don't be looking at me, what I do. What do you do? You know, and because if she felt like, well, you just reversed what I just said. And I'm like, yeah, I can do that. You know what I mean? Like, and for her touching my pieces, it was like a violation already. And I didn't even go into that. I said, you know what? I love myself enough that as soon as she leaves, I'm staging this. So we ain't even going to have an argument about her getting rude. And so certain people are aggressive when it comes down to their love. They don't know how it could be an overstep. Like this one sister stepped right on the carpet just so she could put some or look at something. She didn't look at the ground like that she's walking on. She don't cherish the ground like as all people can love the ground that they step on. You know what I mean? So it gets to a point where just like when I went to Nat Turner Trail and we went to the church, and we had to see how people walked in. Now, mind you, when people walk into church, they're already supposed to be dressed a certain way or feeling a certain way. Well, the idea of when they walked in the church is already set up in a Masonic look, so I already catched on to that. And then they said they have Negro heaven up top, and where the Tomahawks basically stay at the bottom. When they walk in the door, they have the brothers and the sisters, which they were calling Negroes. I don't call them that. I call them Moors or a higher being of their self. They end up walking in the left door, while the Tomahawks, which are the Europeans, walk through the right door. Now, this is the same thing as masculine and feminine. So we would think if it was about gender splicing, they just did it with principles right in front of us, and we still are using this to this day and saying it is okay. We are numbing ourselves out if we don't catch on to all this basically blasphemy, when they've been calling it blasphemy, this paganism concept, the Thanksgiving, the Christmas. Look into this. Look at it and see if you really are a pagan doing this stuff. Because if you're doing it and you say, oh, I want to do it because Christians do it. No, Christians weren't doing that at a certain point. And if we were to even look at Christians, were they sacrificing like the sun god to have food on their table, to sacrifice a human being so they could have food on the table? Where did this cannibalism come from? It might not have been even in the origin that we want to say as Christianity or the origin that we say that's in Islam, because you got people that eat halal. That's still meat. That's still parasites. You're accepting parasites and eggs that do not belong in your body to be in your body. Is that what you really love? Do you love, like the brother Infinite Water said, yourself enough not to eat animals anymore, just eat the plant life, the mineral life, you know, the fungi life? That became the first things before we even ate plants. we had to know about these things, so how that plant exists. The plant existed for the animals and for us. Then we knew superhuman. If you don't know anything about superhuman, you've been looking at it in the comic books, on the movies, in comic strips, on people's shirts, and all this other paraphernalia, it's only your issues that you don't know yourself that have a supernatural ability inside you that you would say that certain people do naturally. Become your supernatural being. You are that. Love yourself enough to be that. Ashe, ashe, ashe. Oh, respect. Give thanks.
I love you.